hopefully you can hear this. I hope so. I did a level check briefly before I came on, but everything is sort of last minute craziness. Oh, thank you so much, Northern Lights, for telling me. Okay. Yeah, so I did a level check just a minute ago, but everything is crazy and chaotic as usual. This is the first show. This is a live show. This is Language Soup, Episode 1. My name is DJ Super Salad. I meant to do this show. I meant to start it in the new year, last week, and all kinds of things happened, and I decided it wouldn't be suitable to do it. Actually, I had some trouble with my baby son, who's only 1.5 years old. You'll meet him in a little bit. And then my wife got mad at me for playing around on the computer, and so I had to go and help. Yeah, I don't know. She has mixed feelings. No, I don't think they're mixed feelings. I was going to say she has mixed feelings about me doing the show, but I think she is pretty strongly opposed to me doing this and thinks it's a big waste of time. She said I should be cleaning the house. Anyway, this show is called Language Soup. We're coming to you live from The Hague. The Hague is a city in the Netherlands. I know it sounds like some kind of giant Borg cube or something to people, but it's just a city in the Netherlands, pretty ordinary city, pretty interesting city in many ways. I can talk about that in a little bit. But the theme of this show, broadly speaking, is how is meaning transmitted in language? This is not necessarily an academic show. It's not a course. It's supposed to be entertaining. But I do want to approach some of these questions that I think are very deep and meaningful questions about language that are very difficult to get at. And trying to approach this question of how meaning is transmitted in language in various ways by looking at examples of language usage and, yeah, basically where I can find them. So you're going to be hearing some recordings of me and my family. And today I'm going to be playing you an album of whale songs. Because language is everywhere. And I think we often shortchange ourselves thinking about language in terms of only human languages. So I'd like to try to broaden your perspective and show you some examples of language from all over the place. I'll give you some background. This is my new show. I haven't done a radio show in years, and so it's going to take me a little bit of adjusting to I had to reinstall mix, and I don't have my DJ control board anymore. I'm living in a different country now. I was living in the United States before when I did my previous show. Everything is different. I have a new microphone. Hopefully it sounds better now. This is a Yeti X microphone. I don't know. I'm not really an audiophile. Are you hearing a clicking? Are you hearing some kind of a... Okay, thank you. Yeah, so... yeah, okay. Well, oh, I see. Okay, thank you for the commentary and calm. I'm really paranoid that like things are going to go wildly wrong, but it seems to be okay right now. Yeah, so my previous show was from 2015 to 2017. It was called Asia Culture Adventure, and I basically just played all kinds of music that I pirated from all over the place. This show is focusing on language broadly, which gives me the opportunity to pull things from anywhere, and that way I won't run out of material this time. During the time that I was working on the previous show, or doing the previous show, I was working on a PhD in religious studies, and my major focus at that time was Indian Buddhist monastic law, which is the rules that Buddhist monks and nuns have to follow in order to be Buddhist monks and nuns. Those rules, so that's a genre of literature called Vinaya, and those rules were originally composed in a language called Sanskrit and various other Indic languages. If you've heard of the Pali Canon, that's a Prakrit related to Sanskrit, so some of the rules are in Pali. And then there were old world translations of these rules made into Tibetan and Chinese. And so you can imagine that I have language on my mind a lot of the time, because I've had to work with these languages, just in doing my research. I'm not in any way an expert at any of these languages, particularly Tibetan. I find very difficult. But I've had to encounter these languages and learn how to work with them, even though I didn't know them very well. And so I often think about problems in language. Then I got my PhD in 2016, and at the end of 2017, I was fortunate to be hired for a project in the Netherlands. That's why I'm here in the Netherlands now. I'm no longer on the project, but I was on it for 4 years, doing a computational linguistics task called text alignment, where basically we have a bunch of texts in Tibetan and in Chinese that are both translations of original Sanskrit texts. These are also Buddhist texts, but we've lost the Sanskrit. Like a thousand, we didn't lose it in the project, but like 1,000 years ago, the Sanskrit versions of these texts were mainly lost. And so we have various translations of them in Tibetan and Chinese, and they don't match up sentence by sentence like you might want them to. Depending on how the translators rendered these, rendered their translations, they would sometimes add words that weren't in the original, or they would omit words. So people who also work with language and translation are probably familiar with these problems. But this just got me thinking about various aspects of language and how meaning is transmitted in language. And it's not as simple as just saying that meaning is located in individual words. Then, in the process of moving here to the Netherlands, I've also had to work on the Dutch language, which I'm quite terrible at right now, but I'm trying to get better at. My wife also is from China. She's Cantonese. She's been teaching. We just celebrated our wedding anniversary, our 12th wedding anniversary, a few days ago. And she's been trying to teach me Chinese for about 12 years, and I know a little bit, but it's pretty slow going. So all of these things combined together, I just have language on my mind all the time, so that's why I decided to do the show on that topic, because then I won't run out of material. So what are we going to do? As I said, this isn't an academic show, so I'm not going to bore you to death talking about Buddhist Vinaya texts. I have more so just talking conversations with my wife and my son, because that's how it's easy to come up with material. For this show, I have a few conversations that I've had with my wife and son, and then I'm going to play you some whale songs. So that will take up about 40 minutes of time. So I think I'll just get right into it. Why don't you meet my son?
Dada.
What do you want to say? I know he wants my phone, but why doesn't he just say it? Why don't you just say what you want? Say, I want the phone.
And you spit out your food? Come on, baby.
Now, the reason I played that for you, well, it seemed like a nice introduction. I just sort of turn on the. I recorded that through the cell phone, so it actually sounds better than I thought it would. So I just record sort of random things as they come up. But I thought that that was a particularly good clip because this child was born in May 2020, so he's about a year and a half old. He can say dad and mom. He doesn't say anything else, but you can hear, maybe you can, I can hear it. He does all kinds of intonations. He makes different squealy sounds, but it's not just random noises. And maybe that will be a nice segue into the whale songs at the end. He has quite a wide vocabulary of squeals, and he understands more than he's able to say. So we can give him commands. We can one of the tasks he likes to do is to throw away the cat food wrapper after I feed the cats in the morning. I can give him the empty wrapper and tell him to go throw it in the garbage, and he understands me. So he seems to have a pretty wide vocabulary of words that he can hear. But he's not able to produce the words yet. And yet there's some kind of consciousness going on there that's obvious, at least to me and to his mother, that we can tell that he's participating in the conversation in some way, even though he can't speak. So I thought that that would be a nice introduction, and then you can also meet my family, and you could hear at the end there, my wife was speaking in Mandarin, to the baby. She tries to speak with him, mainly in Mandarin so that he can pick it up. We'll see how that goes. But part of the my personal interest in doing this show is to sort of have a record of speech development of my son. So hopefully I can keep doing this show for a long time, and then we can see, looking through the archives, the gradual development of speech. So this is right at the time where the speech is developing. He can understand things, but he's not able to vocalize words yet, mainly. So he basically just says dad and mom right now. So I want to play another clip for you. This is my wife now, singing her version of the ABC song. ABC? Can you do it again like you just did?
Yes. A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
H I J K L M N O P Q R S T U V W X Y Z.
Wait, I'm gonna restart it. I'm sorry.
Alright, this is called ABC.
Yeah.
Can you do it again like you just did?
Yes. A B C D E F G H I J K L M N O P Q R S T U V W X Y Z. That's how it works.
That's all? You don't say anything else after that?
No. Oh, you can say something else afterwards.
Because ours goes A B C.
Now I can sing my A B C, something like that. I forgot.
Well, ours goes like this: A B C D E F G H I J K L M N O P Q R S T U V W X Y N Z. Now I know my ABCs. Next time, won't you sing with me? You don't know that one?
No.
Well, where did you? Where did you hear your weird version of it?
Well, but if you search on YouTube.
I don't get this one that's like L M.
No, L M N. No.
L M N.
Yeah, then you don't need to do like.
No, but it's like, what the fuck? You just end like that? L M N? L M N O P. Come on.
Get your. Please, get his.
Boat?
Boat, yeah.
We're gonna get the boat. What do you think about it? What do you think about it?
So I thought that was interesting that my wife has learned, I guess, some kind of Hong Kongese version of the ABC song. I'm not sure where she learned this exactly, but she insists that this is the proper way to sing the ABC song. And I'm firmly convinced that my way is the proper way to sing the ABC song. And of course, there's no definitive ABC song, but except mine is the right one. And it's very personal to me. It's very personal to her, which way to sing this ABC song. And I just thought that that would be a nice example of how we get attached to language, and we it's so bound up in our personal worldviews and our sort of ideological approach to the world that we don't even. It's so close to us that we don't even sort of recognize it, that it's just reality to us. When she first sang that song, I just thought, why are you doing it that way? It's still just offensive to my ears to hear that, where I expect that L-M-N-O-P, and she, I don't know what else to say. So that's the kind of thing that I want to look at, not so much formal syntax rules and things, but just examples of language in everyday life. And as I said, I'm trying to learn Dutch, and I have to pass the national Dutch language test if I want to remain in this country. So I've been here for 4 years. Last December was the end of 4 years in this country for me, and so I'm hoping within a few months to take the national Dutch exam, and if I can pass that, then by the time I've lived here for 5 years, I can apply for a permanent residency, and then I don't have to go back to the U.S. It's rather nice here in the Netherlands. We have a high quality of life, and but I don't know Dutch at all. So, well, I know it a little bit. So part of what I'd like to do with this show is I talked to my wife about maybe putting some Dutch language lessons on the show, just where I can find them. I don't want to break copyright. I don't want anybody to sue me. But there are some public domain lessons floating around on the web that I was thinking I could put up. And it, surprisingly, when I talked to her about this, she was not very interested at all. And you can hear a little bit about what we talked about.
What do you think people should know about learning a language?
The expectations are, and
set a goal,
and then find the best method, that material that suits them.
How do you find the material?
The material depends on what your goal is.
The goal is to become fluent in a language.
Yeah. Oh.
Chinese.
Not really, because some people's goal probably is not be fluent, but just pick up a few sentences, or like me, just to pass an exam.
You just want to pass an exam? Don't you want to be fluent in Dutch?
Not really.
But you live in the Netherlands.
Yeah, but...
You don't care?
I am actually not too care.
You don't care?
No.
You don't sound like very enthusiastic about learning a language.
Not really.
Oh. Because the point of the show is that it's a language-focused show.
So, you can see that we sort of have mixed opinions on, or differing opinions, rather, on what the purpose is of learning this. I want to become fully integrated in Dutch society and become completely fluent in Dutch. And my wife is only interested in passing the exam. I'm going to try over the course of the next few weeks and months to change her mind. So that's part of the goal here. But as I said, this is also, it's not meant to be an academic show. This is something that I hope is entertaining as well. So I'm going to try not to bore you to death. Maybe this is not the best choice of a first selection to play, but I find these very interesting. I like animals for one thing, and I think that people often assume that animals are not conscious or something, just because they don't understand them. And I don't know what brought me to whale songs, but I was just poking around on the internet. I guess I read an article recently about how whales, did you know that whales came from the ancestor of the whale came from land, and was like a sort of like a horse like creature, that evolved into a sea creature. But the ancestor of that creature, of course, if you go far enough back, came from the ocean. So that's something interesting about whales, is that they came out of the ocean and then they went back, and they're huge. They're the blue whale is the largest animal in the world, and they're extremely intelligent, and they have conversations with each other, and there are many of these whale songs that have been recorded. So this is an album by Dr. Roger Payne. That was released in 1970. I think it is technically under copyright, but I think it's not very available, and I think I probably won't get sued for playing this. Hopefully not. But I found this, it's a very good album, and it's very relaxing. So this will take the rest of the show. It might get cut off at the end, because it looks like it's the duration of the file is 39 minutes and 13 seconds. So I'm going to shut up now and just play the album. Thank you so much for tuning in to my show.
Thank you.